You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all
racing. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition, and a big Saturday as well because it's the return of the flat. The first meeting on the turf this season at Doncaster comes up this Saturday afternoon with the Lincoln, the feature race. We've also got jumping from Newbury and Bangor alongside that in the afternoon. All other racing at Linkfield as well, and then evening action from Wolverhampton. As we say, there is something for everybody this Saturday. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
I'm pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Flat is back. Well, yeah, for now anyway.
Officially starts tomorrow.
It goes quiet again after tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, great to see Doncaster back. It's always a great meeting. We see the first big two-year-old race in the Brocklesby. We see some big handicaps. And suddenly you're like, yeah, I remember this flat stuff. It's all quite competitive. It's all quite fast and furious. And you're looking forward to it coming back?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Dad's more a flat-orientated trainer. And I'll say proper racing is back. Competitive stuff on the turf. It is a little bit tricky, obviously. I think Avista, it's a week earlier than what we normally have anyway for the start of this year's flat season. And with the weather we've had, you probably wouldn't really want a lot of turf racing on grass at the moment. I know it's all well and good saying we've got no turf racing to start the season off. And it is frustrating. Obviously, Warwick and Folkestone, two tracks that generally started off quite early, they're no longer with us. Obviously, Folkestone, no racing at all. And Warwick now at a jumps track. It does restrict the options, and a lot of the meetings are on near weather. But like I say, if we'd had this winter and a couple of turf meetings, it could have destroyed the ground for quite some time. So, in hindsight, I think it's probably a better thing. It doesn't mean it just doesn't really get going to start off with us in any trouble.
Always good at Doncaster, though. This meeting is always pretty exciting stuff to watch, and obviously being a flat jockey yourself. Did you have much success at Doncaster?
Not particularly. No? Not a track. My dad's horses, again, didn't particularly like the straight track since they resurfaced it back in, I think, 2005, 2006. The straight track, very similar to Ascot, it does drain very, very well, which kind of means why they can hold racing so easily in November, end the season, never handicap and start again in March. But that service doesn't always suit a lot of horses, a little bit like Ascot. You get a few course specialists, and for whatever reason, a lot of my dad's horses aren't particularly effective. I had one winner, a two-year-old. It was our 500th winner. But generally, apart from that, I think I had one ride in Lincoln, finished about eighth on Shavansky. But it's not been that lucky a track for me, riding-wise.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's luckier with your
tipping-wise. Yeah, let's hope so.
We're going to get your tips for Donny in a minute. Obviously, this time of year as well, and when the flat racing comes back, we talk a lot about the draw. Doncaster's a big open track, and it's quite hard to tell whether if there is a draw bias at some stages, key stages of this season. And obviously, this is the first meeting of the year, so it's a little bit of guesswork, but is there anything you're looking at in terms of the draw with regards to Saturday?
The problem is it changes as well, yes, all the time. Ideally, where the pace is, and sometimes if you draw on one side or the other, if you're stuck in the middle, you kind of just get left with a lot of daylight. Last year's race, those drawn low, I think, were the ones that came out on top. But it does change meeting to meeting. It depends a lot where the pace is, where the jockeys want to go. So it's not easy to really have a strong opinion about the draw. Not like at Ascot, where you see loads of racing. It's not the best.
It was high last year. High for the last
year. High, but he came far side. Drawn 20 bravery. But he did come right across because we had Master Carpenter drawn 22. And the horses that stayed on the stand side didn't do anything. Yeah. So it's a tricky one to really, really guess. And like you say, what are the draws? 20, 22, 15, 3, 3, 12, 16, 1, 9. So there's a variant, but you don't really want to be in the middle, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Either side's fine, not down the middle, perhaps. But we'll move on to that in more detail a little bit later on, because whilst the jumps are taking second, a backseat, if you like, this weekend with a flat returning, there is still good jumps racing at Newbury, and the feature race on their card is the EBF and TBA Mares National Hunt Novices Hurdle. Get there. It's a finale as well. I missed that bit off. But it's quite a race title, and quite a race as well this year, because we've got 16 of them taking part, and some real nice mares in there, to be fair. I mean, you could state a case for at least six or seven of these, probably more. The market at the time of recording this is headed by Oscar Rose, who is 7-1 are the top of the market. If You Say Run is 8-1, Sensilano is 8-1 as well with Petticut Tails. Midnight Tune 10s, Kalahari Queen 10s with Lady of La Manva, and it's 12s or bigger for the remainder. Any ideas in what is a wide open race, as the betting suggests there, 7-1 the field, so this is open.
Well, unlike the Mayor's races at Cheltenham Festival, which are just basically dominated by Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott, most of the English ones aren't quite that level, so they tend to miss the festival. And the name for this race, and obviously a handicap as well, it does balance it out a little bit, because even if you've got one that's perhaps off bottom weight, they've got a chance of that, whereas off levels at the festival, they would have struggled. So actually, for competitiveness-wise, this is a cracking mare's race. Lots of these come here in really good form, lots of collateral form as well, because obviously they're running each other in the qualifiers, and it's a fascinating race, and I think the market just tells you how tough it is. The one I'm going to go for is the Paul Nicholls trained If You Say Run, a very consistent mare, not out the first two in five starts this season, just behind Midnight Tune at Sandown last time out in a grade two. £3 better off on this occasion. It might just swing it in If You Say His Run's favour, only beating 2.5 lengths. I think the better ground will suit Paul Nicholls' mare a little bit more, and she would be the token selection. But it's a seriously competitive race. Kalahari Queen, that's got to be dangerous of 11-1 for Jamie Snowden and Gavin Sheehan. That's had a cracking season. She's won 2 of her last 3 and second on the other occasion, and she'd be probably the alternative to If You Say Run. But I think you probably want to put up 2 in this kind of race, because there is such strength and depth. None of them you can particularly rule out. Obviously, most of these mares have had this target as a season all year long, so it's a race where they're peaking at this time of year. So keep a real close eye on the market tomorrow. But the two at the moment I quite like are the very consistent horses, If You Say Run for Paul Nicholls and Kalahari Queen for Jamie Snowden.
If You Say Run is 8-1 at the moment, Kalahari Queen is 10-1 in the betting at the time of recording this. Let's move over to Doncaster. Let's have a look at the return of the flat action. We're going to look at the two listed races and then the Lincoln. The 150 is the first race on the card. The Cammage Trophy kicks off the flat season. Listed race over 6 furlongs. A field of 11 set to take part here in the market, headed by Lancelot Dulac, who is 5-2. 9-2 for Perfect Pasture. Danzino is 7s. 7-1 Mr. Lupton and Terentum Star as well. Ice Age is 10-1. 12-1 Blue De Vega with MJ Jacko, whatever it is, and 25-1 on bigger prices for the others. Never know the name of that horse. We got a bit more of a bit less of an open heat in terms of the betting this time around. 5-2 favourite Lancelot Dulac, rightfully so in your opinion?
Yeah, really impressive and winning at Wolverhampton the other day on a handicap off of 107. He was the class angle in that race, but he certainly looks to be in similar shape or form. My only slight concern is that he perhaps might not be quite as good at Doncaster. He's a bit of a disappointing run in the Portland, only finished 12th in that contest, but to be fair to him, he was 3rd behind Jack Dexter a couple of years ago at the November meeting. But he comes in really, really good form. He goes on a bit of giving the ground. Obviously, he won the Stewards' Cup on soft ground under Frank Dettori, which was a cracking performance last year. I think if he wins this, his prize money will be nearly £500,000. So he's been an absolutely cracking horse for Team Ivy. I'm going to oppose him with Perfect Pasture, a horse who goes well fresh for Mick Easterby. He's got loads of course in his since form. He won first time out at Windsor last season, and he ended the year with some good form here at Doncaster, winning a decent handicap by a neck, and then second in the listed race at the end of the year behind Dream of Dreams, which was a really, really solid effort. So Perfect Pasture will be my section in the Cammage Trophy.
Perfect Pasture then for Mick Easterby and David Allen. That's the pick for James in the Cammage. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock, the Doncaster Mile, listed race over a mile. Who'd have thought it? We've got a field of 6 set to go to post for this one, and the market headed by Zabiel Prince, who's 6-4, already been backed as well at the time recording this from 13-8. Tabarak is 9-4, 11-2 for Intern, 11-1. Born to be Alive, 12 for Another Touch, and Crazy Horse is 12-1 as well. You can see why Zabiel Prince is so short in the market. Had some good form back in the last season, racked up a hat-trick, including a win in a big field race at York. Pretty disappointing, though, really, last time at Ascot in the Balmoral. What would you put that down to?
Race probably came a bit quick, to be honest, Mark. It was only 8 days after winning at York, beating Bravery, and end of the season, a 250 grand handicap. You're going to go for it. A horse who was well treated off 102, but unfortunately I think it just probably came a bit too quick for him. He was disappointed, but he still finished 11 for 20 in a competitive race, so I wouldn't devalue him too much on that form, bearing in mind that his race has been very, very well spread out before that. I think you can certainly give him the benefit of doubt, and he's been very well backed for this race, and Zabiel Prince could be anything. He's a 106 rated now. He's obviously got £4 on official ratings are fine with Tabarak, but he's just got that progressive profile that suggests he could be anything and could be a really exciting horse for Roger Varian and Andrea Rizzani. He's the selection in the race. Obviously, Tabarak is the main danger for Richard Hannon and Jim Crowley. A five-year-old now, he's a real solid campaigner, but he's had 11 races, unlike just a five for Zabil Prince. And you'd imagine that Tabarak's hit his level. The horse who had a good year last year, to be fair, ended the season winning a listed race at Newbury over 7 furlongs. Decent type. Hasn't actually got that much form on soft grounds. That could be a little bit of worry. Zabil Prince has got better form on that surface. So I'll be sticking with Roger Vere and Andrea at Zaney's mount. Obviously, fitness-wise, going to be taking a little bit on trust. We've not seen either of those two for quite a while, but I think top yards like that, they'll have got them ready first time out, and Zabil Prince, a selection.
Zabil Prince, the selection, then the 6-4 favourite at the time of recording this, and we move on to the big race of the afternoon, the Lincoln Heritage Handicap over a mile. We've got a field of 22 of them set to go to post here. The market headed by Fire Brigade, who's been all the rage this week, has shortened up significantly in the market, now 11-2 favourite. 6-1-4, Addy Ebb or Addy B or whatever that one is. Lord Glitters is 13-2. Mitchum Swagger 12-1, 14's Big Country. Ballard Down is 14s with Leader Writer. Chelsea Lad 16s. Donica is 16s as well with Bravery. 18-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. We'll start with Fire Brigade. We have to start with Fire Brigade because has been incredibly well backed all week. Brings decent enough form into this race as well. And the bucking of Ryan Moore seems to have triggered this big, well, gamble really. It's
I think that's been key, Ryan Moore, hasn't it really? As soon as he was booked for the horse, lots of people have latched on to him as though he's been laid out for the contest. But I don't think he's really been laid out any more than the other horses in the race, to be fair, because he was behind Adea when they were first and third respectively in the Silver Cambridge, just solid form nonetheless, but doesn't exactly strike me as why he should reverse the form. A really progressive individual last year, started off what was he when he went handicapping, 56 when his winning run started. 56, 73, 80, 84, 94. So he's been a horse which didn't exactly show a great deal at the beginning of his career. He's come good later on, made a lot of progress. That's going to be a little bit of concern. How much is he going to find this year? Whereas Adeyeb, classy profile, much more likely raced, rated 99 for William Haggis. Yes, Ryan Moore's not in, but James Doyle is. You do wonder if Ryan had the choice between the two, bearing in mind Ryan rode Adeyeb on his last two starts. I don't really read too much into that. I'll just stick with Adeyeb, who could be the classy individual in the race, so he's going to be the selection.
What about some at bigger odds? Obviously, you got last year's winner, Bravery, who returns on a lower mark, in fact, this time around. Donica ran third in the race last year, I think, been pretty out of form since, but you got these kind of horses that are at decent prices that, if they were to bounce back, could have a say as well.
Yeah, possibly. It's just they've got their mark. You know what we're going to get. Bravery, actually, to be fair, he is a classy horse, obviously trained by Aidan O'Brien in his younger days. He uses a pacemaker, I think, in a couple of Group 1s, and he ran above himself. He never really repeated that Lincoln run. Is fresh the time to catch him? Or is he just a very, very tricky individual? Because he actually ran a nice enough race from fifth on his last run of the season back at Doncaster. Actually, you know he likes that track.
Yeah.
You couldn't put him off at a price, but do I trust him? Not particularly. Of the others, Donica is probably one that I would put a shout in because he's more consistent than Bravery. You know what you're going to get. But I'd just be surprised if he was good enough to beat some of the unexposed ones at the head of the market, because they could be group horses where I think a lot of the others are just exposed handicappers.
So Adeyeb who?
Adeyeb is one for me.
So there are the picks for James then for Saturday's racing. Of all of that, is there a strongest selection or, you know, what you're going to nap on Saturday? Do you know yet?
My nap on Saturday, it's a tricky one actually, because the Lincoln obviously is generally what you would look for, but Adeyeb at 6-1, he is still quite a skinny price. So I'm going to go for Perfect Pasture because I don't think there's as much strength and depth to the Cambridge Trophy. And he's got Lancelot Delac to beat, and I think he goes well fresh. So, Perfect Pasture will be the nap, I think, out of those four. Mark?
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, James. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy the action on Saturday.
No worries, thank you very much.
There you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Saturday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Alex Dunn, Paddy Aspel and Alistair Jones, the team in the studio. We've got the first day of the flat at Doncaster, accompanied by Newbury and Bangor over the obstacles, Lingfield on the all-weather in the afternoon as well, and evening racing from Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.